It's Monday. We have a chance to sit down to talk to one of the greats, Dick Weiss, who was an editor for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch for 30 years, 20 years of it in the Metro section. He has retired, and now he is our media critic. He also has a website, ReiseWeissWright.com. I'll never get it. I will never get it. WeissWright.com, right?
WeissWrite.
Dick Weiss, WeissWright.com. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Good to see you. All right, now, your buddy Bill O'Reilly was in town.
My buddy?
Your buddy. Well, he's got to be somebody's buddy.
Yeah.
Do you have that clip of what he said? Let's get the clip of what Bill O'Reilly said on his television show, in which the Post-Dispatch came out last week, and I guess at some point asked him, hey, are you going to apologize for what you said? And he said, absolutely not. He came in and spoke. A number of people came and watched him speak. He did not apologize, and he never really made any comments, but this is what he said on his show back in January.
This is what I believe happened in the Hearst case and in this case. The situation that Hearst found herself in was exciting. She had a boring life, she had a child of privilege. All of a sudden, she's in with a bunch of charismatic thugs, and she enjoyed it. The situation here for this kid looks to me to be a lot more fun than what he had under his old parents. He didn't have to go to school. Run around, do whatever he wanted.
Some kids like school.
What?
Some kids like school.
Well, I don't believe this kid did. And I think when it all comes down, what's going to happen is there was an element here that this kid liked about his circumstance.
Bill O'Reilly came to town and criticized our daily newspaper. Dick Weiss, what do you think of that?
Bill O'Reilly is an ignorant man. let me just put it that way. I had not heard that initial clip.
Uh-huh.
I'd heard about, you know, what he had said, but hearing it, the thing that stood out to me that didn't get much comment was that he basically asserts that Sean Hornbeck, a young man who he doesn't know,
right,
doesn't like school.
Right.
And must have been having a great time.
Right.
That's ignorant.
Yes.
Okay. Should he apologize for it? I don't think he's smart enough or sensitive enough to want to do that. His stock and trade is saying things that are provocative and drawing attention to himself, much in the way that Ann Coulter does.
Right.
And so I'm sure it's a calculated thing on his part not to apologize, because that would probably make more news
right.
than if he did apologize. Maybe,
right.
maybe not, but in any case, he's always going to be on the other side of something that is in good taste.
Say what you want, and I know in this day and age you get more attention by being more outrageous, but here's a man who prides himself on helping the kids of child abuse victims and has written books about it, and he's going to all the lengths, and then he comes out and says this about Sean Hornbeck, comes into the backyard of Sean Hornbeck and criticizes the daily newspaper, the Post-Dispatch, because they're, you know, a bunch of liberal nut jobs or something. You know, hey, you're the one who said it, and now you're not at least man enough to own up to it. He's now he's sort of changing his tune a little bit, but he hasn't come out and said, wow, what I said was just wrong.
Right. It's slightly hypocritical, ignorant, and really not worth much more comment than that, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, moving on. The press club had a debate on the whole handling of this Sean Hornbeck case?
Yeah, there was a forum. I don't know if you'd call it a debate, but we had four speakers weigh in on various aspects of the coverage. Bill O'Reilly did not get that much attention. This was the day before he spoke.
Right.
And by the way, that podcast of that is on my website, WeissWright.com. I can't even pronounce it.
Thank you. So the four people, what was the conversation like over the New York Post reporter who lied to get into the jailhouse for the interview?
Generally speaking, they gave her a break, a misdemeanor, if a problem at all, rather
right.
than a felony.
Right.
I was told that her attorney was on the panel, but I was told that she was in the room, and I was unaware of it, and most people were, and a press club member came up and said, no, oh, she was sitting in the front row, and we missed her.
She's like the shadow.
She is. I felt really stupid because we weren't able to call attention to her.
Well, she hasn't, as you pointed out numerous times, she hasn't spoke to anybody. She hasn't shown her face. She hasn't been quoted. She hasn't been on television. She lets her work speak for itself. And she's a graduate student or a senior and or graduate student at Wash U, who's making a name for herself. And, you know, quite frankly, I think you have to applaud her efforts. That's where I come down on.
No question. She showed a lot of moxie. The question is when she introduced herself to the authorities, she said that she was a friend of Michael Devlin, and she wasn't. She lied on that front. But otherwise, once she got in there, it appears that he was aware of what she was doing, and he invited her back. So I'd like to put out a public appeal right now. Susanna Cahalan, call in to McGraw-Mill Haven Show.
Yes.
Turn yourself in.
Please do. So she was there watching this panel on they debated and or discussed her role in it, and she was watching it.
And that's hearsay. I was just told she was there. But
right.
She may have been a ghost. It may have been a figment of this press club member's imagination. But
right.
She did not speak up. She did not come to the microphone.
How about that? What do you make of this whole U.S. attorney stuff going on with the firing of the 8 federal prosecutors?
Well, a lot has been said, and I guess my take on it is how a lot of the media is taking this a little farther than the evidence would so far indicate, that these U.S. attorneys were fired because they were either not prosecuting cases that the Republicans wanted them to do or prosecuting cases that the Republicans didn't want them to do. There is not yet any smoking gun memo that says exactly that. There's nothing from Karl Rove that says this prosecutor went after Duke Cunningham, so let's get rid of her.
Right.
And yet you see on the talk shows, on the cable outlets, where Howard Feynman, for one, a Newsweek correspondent, I think went a little further than that and basically says that's what they're doing, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, or there, certainly Karl Rove's M.O.
Right.
is to go after opponents by getting them prosecuted.
But we
don't have that evidence yet.
We do know that the White House said they were fired for cause, and then when you go look at their records, it turns out that they had a great track record.
Right, and that's bad.
Right.
Because they basically tarnished the reputations of those attorneys, or tried to. Actually, those attorneys are probably looking really good now. They can probably get book contracts and get hired at prestigious law firms. But that was bad, and it looks as if lies were told,
right.
And perhaps to Congress, and they're going to pay the price. And, I believe those people, many of those people, should be subpoenaed and lots of good questions asked.
Right.
I just think the media is taking this a little further than the evidence yet shows.
So you're saying the evidence isn't there to support Gonzalez resigning or being fired or anything else? It needs to be watched, but right now we don't have any information.
Right. Keep asking questions.
Right.
And it's interesting, there hasn't been a lot of coverage about our own U.S. attorney who has been able to keep her job. And so some questions could be asked, well, what about the attorneys who were kept on? Were they playing ball with the Bush administration politically? Or why do they get to keep their jobs and the others have to leave?
I think it was it the Post-Dispatch brought up the connection between the license offices and the Arkansas judge that was
resigned? On the editorial page,
right? Yeah.
At least that's the article that I was aware of. And of course, the Arkansas U.S. attorney was looking into the Blunt administration here in Missouri and didn't find anything, didn't prosecute. And yet that guy lost his job, so I don't quite see the motive there.
Right. Well, we also know that the White House originally said that it was Harriet Myers who brought up the idea, and now there are some emails that say Harriet Myers wasn't the only one, and maybe it was Karl Rove. So they were caught in a lie, per se, one, and then two, with the saying they were fired for cause. Let me ask you this question, somebody who gathers news. How much should these people be held to the fire, say Tony Snow, who wasn't even there when this stuff happened? And two, he's in front of a gaggle of reporters, and he has to, quote, say who said what, who did what, and he doesn't quite know. And so he says, oh, right, Harriet Myers wasn't the one. It was Karl Rove. Does he lose credibility because memories are, you know, I have a hard time remembering what I did yesterday. Are they supposed to remember who made the suggestion 3 years ago?
It's his job to go get the information. The problem for Tony Snow, you kind of feel sorry for him. I maybe even feel sorrier for his predecessor, Scott McClellan. He goes back and he gets the information, and he's not told the truth. And then he's sent out there telling people things that aren't true, and they the press holds him accountable because he's the one that they can get to. And so I'm hoping that Tony Snow, when he goes back there, he asks the question over and over again so that he gets the right answer.
Because once he doesn't misspeak, once he tells wrong information, he loses the credibility of the reporters in the room.
Right. And at some point, as with Scott McClellan, you have to go because they don't believe you
right.
anymore. And, you know, Tony Snow is a... will have a life beyond the White House, and he will be tarnished if he goes out and tells lies, even if they weren't, even if he's not doing it knowingly.
Sure. You have been quick to criticize your old boss, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, for a number of reasons. However, you think the coverage of this Riverview School District scandal was pretty good.
I thought David Hunt and Stephen Gingrich did a great job. In some ways, it was like the Walter Reed scandal in Washington in terms of how they got onto the story. It certainly won't have the national impact that Walter Reed will. But basically what good reporters do is they listen and they follow up. And as the Riverview story was unfolding, it really they really got started with it when a principal was let go a while back. And residents were coming to David Hunt and saying there's something amiss here. It isn't just about the principal. And they began looking at the records, and they found terrible, egregious spending on the part of the superintendent and contracts going to cronies and relatives, and they just kept hammering away at it. And they came out with their story that detailed all this, and the state audit followed up, revealed even more, and the superintendent is...
He's behind bars.
Going
now.
Away.
Yeah.
Well, not quite behind bars, but maybe on his way.
So your point is that if the local newspaper didn't follow up, this story would have gone unreported, and he wouldn't be facing criminal charges.
It's possible. I think that the state probably was listening and would have done its audit anyway. But turning up what a good newspaper does is not only report, it turns up the volume on a situation like this so people will have to act, keeps the community informed. And David Hunt is a little bit of a hero in the Riverview District right now.
All right.
Deservedly so.
And lastly, Dick Weiss of WeissWrite.com, our media critic, Post-Dispatch editor for 30 years, 20 years on the Metro desk. You noticed in Saturday's Post-Dispatch an interesting ad?
There was an interesting ad on the obituary page right next to... a nice obituary for Sister Rose. There is an ad called Sex for Life, and it talks about issues that males have in terms of achieving certain things. And I'm wondering, what on earth is that ad doing there?
Right.
And
on the obituary page.
On the obituary page. There's a I have seen this ad. It guarantees you 90 minutes of things that you can do. I've seen this ad on the sports page,
uh-huh.
which makes some sense. That's where your audience for such a thing might be.
Right.
And, you know, a question for you, is this the kind of ad that you would have on your show?
I don't know. I don't necessarily have. I don't have say over what commercials go on the show. I do have say over what commercials I endorse.
Right.
So I do a live.
Is this something you can endorse?
I have no need for it. So
well,
no, I wouldn't be one using it. So
I mean, I noticed you did have something for Schnars Hardware.
Well, I use Schnars Hardware.
Yeah, this is probably software, but
or hardware.
Yeah.
Yeah, I already.
Our producer is blushing.
Yeah, I can understand that. Did you notice, what was the Kirkwood Times, the Webster Groves?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, it reminded me.
You know what? Hold that thought.
Okay.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. You have another ad from the Webster Kirkwood Times that you caught that was interesting. That was what I was going for. I wasn't going for the smut the way you were, going straight to the garbage with that one.
Now back to the McGraw Show right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
We'll find out what Mark Christopher is talking about here in a couple minutes. We have a couple minutes left with Dick Weiss, former editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Metro section for 20 years. Now, you found an ad in the Webster Kirkwood Times. You're our media critic, and I had to keep you on a little longer because you saw this ad and you wanted to mention it.
Well, I hate to come back on them because it was 3 years old, and it was just because I saw the ad in the Post-Dispatch that reminded me of it. Bad things can happen on the obituary page. One thing that newspapers are very careful about is ad placement. For instance, always on an airline ad, when you fly the friendly skies, they will not run that story or they will not run that advertisement on a same page as a plane crash.
Certainly.
Doesn't look good.
Right,
okay?
right.
The obituary.
By the way, we do the same thing here. When there's a story of somebody dying or a car wreck, we don't play a funeral ad, or somebody's house has been, you know, there's a big giant foreclosure sign, we don't play. You know, there's certain things that they're just considered decent, which all media outlets do.
So at some point during my Post-Dispatch career, this clip from the Webster Kirkwood Times, June 18th to 24th, 2004, is passed around, and there's a nice little ad here for senior home care. And there's a woman who is posing in a picture with somebody, and it says you get companionship and personal care. And right next to that ad is an obituary for that woman. In fact, they cropped the picture. And so the seemed to work against the ad.
Let me see that. So you brought in a copy. So there's a picture of senior living, everything's wonderful, and that same woman, her obituary is right next to it. Whoops!
Yeah, so we tend to collect those things, those of us in the newsroom.
This is
gallows humor.
This is worthy of a Jay Leno.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How about that? All right, Dick, we are out of time. Anything else we need to know?
Things are good.
Things are good.
The school coverage is ongoing, and the students ended their sit-in at the mayor's office.
Right.
There's some very interesting video on YouTube that you can watch, confrontations with the mayor. I thought the students were not particularly polite with the mayor. I thought the mayor did pretty well. Sylvester Brown has a different opinion in the Sunday paper, and you can go watch for yourself.
What upsets me most about that whole sit-in is that the kids are basically just pawns for everyone who doesn't want the state to come take over the school district.
Well, it's interesting. That is at issue. And Stephen Gingrich, who we'd mentioned before favorably, kind of put his foot in it a little bit, if you watch the video, because he is looking into that. Are they pawns, or do they really know what they're talking about? And he asked a question of a student, and an administrator or somebody who is supporting the students in the sit-in says, why are you arguing with the students? And Stephen turns around and says, well, why are you using them? Which really is probably not a good idea for a dispassionate reporter to essentially reveal a position, an opinion,
right,
while he's doing the interviewing.
Right.
And if you watch the video, you will see that some kids have a reasonably sophisticated view of things, and some students do appear clueless and, you know, maybe pawns.
Who shot the video?
It's a little hard to tell. There's a credit at the end which indicates that one of the students was shooting it, and it's also edited. I don't know what was edited out,
right,
but what is left in is not always making the students or their handlers, if you want to call them that, look all that great.
How long is this video?
There's several. And they range in from 2 or 3 minutes to 7 or 8 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
So on YouTube and
just go on YouTube,
do a search.
Type
for...
in, you know, St. Louis Schools or Liz Brown. Can I mention her? Is she your competition?
No, you can't mention her.
Okay.
Don't mention Liz Brown ever again on this show.
L-I-Z-Z.
There you go. Dick Weiss with WeissWrite.com. All the things you need to know. He's our media critic. He's with us every Monday. Dick, have a good week. We'll see you next Monday.